but turn with me to Acts chapter 2 because I want to talk to you about one another life. One another life. In other words, I've called this message, my subtitle would be, "It's Always Better When We're Together." Who's heard of Jack Johnson? It's better when we're together. Better when we're together. And I feel like this is a poignant message for you as a church, because I believe you're in a moment where the rains of heaven are pouring down on this church, on each of its locations, and on Sydney as it's being birthed. It's a new day of new rains. The ground is softening. You're going to see a new, fresh harvest. And with new rains, you're going to see a new room. New rains and new room. In fact, the Lord showed me that it wasn't just a new room being added to you. It was like a whole new unit, a whole new sphere of influence, a whole new sphere of harvest that is coming your way. And we read here in Acts 2, one of the most well-known passages of a supernatural harvest happening and a supernatural move of God going on. And I want to show you how one another life is always at the center of a move of God. You cannot separate a huge harvest from one another life increasing. I love the fact I can preach here and I'm not being interrupted. So I usually got someone next to me speaking in Dutch, and now I'm going to flow as much as I can. I'm going to use as many big English words as I possibly can, like Acts. Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 38, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 41, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." How many of you would love to see that happen to this church? How many of you got saved in C3 Powerhouse or came back to Christ in this church? Just raise your hand. There we go. Wow. Down there in Melbourne. Fantastic. Awesome. Our people birthed in this place. 3,000. There is a move of God happening around the world right now, and we're going to see this rise. What I'm loving is all the news coming out of the UK, because in Britain, we've always looked to places like Australia for a move of God, but there's a move of God happening right in Europe right now. Listen to this. In the UK, church attendance of 18 to 24-year-olds increased from 4% in 2018 to 16% just last year. Four times more Gen Zs in church now than there were only 5 or 6 years ago. I've heard that same statistic in the Netherlands, in the US. I'm sure it's true here. I'm hearing rumors of it here. God is up to something. The Guardian paper in the UK said this: a revival. This is secular press. A revival is happening. Church hails resurgence among young in the UK. 3,000 were added to their number. The rains of heaven are being poured out on your church, I'm telling you. But then listen to this. How did they cope with such a huge influx of people into this emerging church? And it tells us exactly how they did. It says they devoted. Everyone say devoted. Devoted. Who loves the word devoted? I'm a Brit. It's really hard to sell anything. We don't like the focus being on us, so I can't tell you how awkward this is. They devoted themselves to the apostles. Thanks, Gemma, for pushing me to do it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. We'll come back to that. Devoted to teaching, that is equipping, empowering, and to fellowship, that is the communing together around a common purpose, koinonia. It's more than just hanging out together. It's hanging out together around a common purpose, fellowship. They devoted themselves to one another life, to doing life around the table, to eating together, to sharing life together, to opening up about each other's needs together. I remember the first time I walked into a C3 church in 1993, right after the service, John and Deb May invited Lisby and I out for lunch to their house, and that kicked off a revolution in us of how church can really, really be the one another life. And since then, we've had so many of those moments where our real Christianity has happened around the table, eating together, doing life together. We've had a few rocky patches, but we hit one in about 2000 where our best friends and co-leaders in our church turned against us and left our church. It was Pastor, some of you will have heard of Simon McIntyre. Well, Pastor Simon McIntyre was on the phone to us, and on another occasion, he flew from Sydney to England just because a friend and colleague of ours, Bill Bates, was passing away as in a coma in hospital. He would never have known that Simon visited him. That's what I call the real deal C3, big hug, one another life that is devoted to fellowship. Whether you're on a run together, Pastor John took me out for a run this week. We did a hill run. I live in the Netherlands. We don't know what a hill is. But I figure no point in dying alone, right? You might as well die together. The together life devoted to fellowship. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I can't wait for you to get the apostle part of this series. Apostles don't do all the signs and wonders, by the way. They equip you to do the signs and wonders. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Get this. This is one another life. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. See, church is an everyday thing. In the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes. One translation says, from house to house, and they ate together with glad. I love this bit. They went from house to house eating up each other's food. Who's a foodie? Melbourne, you're foodies. I know your reputation. You're foodies. You're going to love this part. They went from house to house eating up each other's food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. There's something that happens in your conversation when you eat together. I don't know whether it's a God design or it's just a psychological thing, but conversation just seems to drop a little deeper, doesn't it, Dan? You just goes a little deeper when you got food in front of you. Maybe, particularly, I think, for men, when you're doing something together or eating together, it is a way of letting conversation drop just a little bit deeper, a little bit more meaningful. I read you those headline stats from the UK. They're saying that Gen Z are looking for community and meaning. So going from house to house, eating together, letting conversation drop a little deeper is where it's at right now. It's community. A few weeks ago, I went out for a run. I'm going to tell you some running stories to make you think I'm a runner. I'm not really a runner. It just gets me outside. We live in a cold climate, and we need an excuse to get us outside. And so I went out. We were visiting Lisby's sister, never been there before. And so we traveled to get there quite a lot. I'd had a snooze. It happens to you when you're in your 30s. You need a little afternoon nap. And I got up, and I just needed to get the oxygen flowing, so I wanted a 15-minute run. So I said to Kate, I said, where can I go where I can run just for 3 kilometers? And she said, well, go out, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left again, and you'll be back here in 15 minutes. So I thought, easy, I'll leave my phone at home. You see where this is going. So I left my phone at home. And so I went out for a run, turn left again, and then I missed the next left. So anyway, I'm running because you don't stop when you're running. That's a sin to. So I carried on running, and as I'm running, I am convincing myself that I've seen these certain landmarks. That pub, I know that pub. We drove past that pub. Carry on running. I know that rugby club. I'm sure we passed that rugby club on the way in. I'm convincing myself I am not lost. This boy is not lost. I carry on running. Now, I don't know what you do here when you leave a town, but in England, when you leave a town, there's a sign with the town's name on it and a cross through it. So it was like Kiwana, cross through. That was very concerning. I'm now leaving the town, and now I'm going, there's something not right about what's going on here. So I now know I'm in no man's land between this town and the city next door, and I'm realizing I don't want to go there. That's all I knew. So I stopped and asked a couple, a family. I said, look, I think I'm lost. Now, that's a massive confession for a man. I think I'm lost. And so so I said, do you know anywhere in this town a street beginning with T? And so they get Google Maps out. They're searching all over the town, but couldn't find anything. And he says, look, we live nearby. I'll go get the car and I'll take you there. I said, it's very kind of you, but I don't know where you're going to take me. I was lost. Eventually, the woman said, why don't we call someone? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many numbers you keep in your head. I have two. One is my parents' landline number. How many in Melbourne remember your parents' landline number or your grandparents' landline? Okay, it's the only, still remember it. They live 4 hours away. That was going to be no help. The other number is my own mobile phone number. Remember, I don't have it on me, so I keep my phone on permanent silence. So I choose when I want to use the phone, not when others want me to use my phone, permanently on silent. And so I left it next to Lisby. So that was my only hope that maybe she would see it. So we call the number. We're in the middle of nowhere. Network breaking up. She answers. First miracle. But the line is all cracking up. I go, honey, she goes, where are you? I go, let me do the talking. Let me do the talking. I need to know the name of the street. She goes, it's number one. And I'm, Lisby, just the name. Just the name. Say it quick. She goes, it's number one. Eventually, she says it's Delhi Close. It's not a T at all. After running a marathon, I eventually get home after spending an afternoon wandering the area. The moral of the story is we need each other. I was just trying to remember the moral of the story. The moral of the story is we're better together. You see, when you're running alone, you're going to go off track. You're going to be making up things. You're going to be convincing yourself you're on the right track. You're going to go, I've seen that sign. God is saying I should go this way. I can't tell you how many times I have shared a thought with someone, convinced that my decision is right. And as I've talked to them, I've realized how out of perspective I've got. And I've needed their input to make sure that I'm not pursuing this direction, but sticking to true north. We need each other more than we think. We're not built to run alone. We're built to run together. And then, of course, in those moments where you finally admit you're lost, we need to know we've got someone to reach out to. We trust that is safe. We're in a circle that we can bear our hearts to, because it's about the one another life. I want to give you seven reasons why we don't connect, and then seven things that will happen if we do connect. The first reason we don't connect is we find it awkward. Okay, anybody? I'm an extrovert, and yet I still find it awkward going into new circles. We find it awkward. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and he asked his disciples, where's the food? And they went, oh, we didn't realize it was a potluck supper. Have you ever turned up to your connect group and gone, oh, was I meant to bring food? Everyone say, awkward. All right, we all have those awkward moments. Second reason, we think that God and I are enough. Well, I certainly proved on that run that God and I was not enough. He didn't help me get back. I needed somebody else. You see, God will forgive you, but it's others that heal you. We need to be in circles that keep our soul healthy, keep our minds healthy, because it's in the one another we get healed. God, yes, is enough for your salvation and your forgiveness, but he's not enough. And I say that very respectfully because he's designed it this way. He's designed for us to be in circles that heal and develop and grow us. Third reason we don't connect, I do not need more people in my world. Yeah, well, I get that. If you're one of those people who've got a lot of people in your world, you may just have to stop and ask, do I have the right people in my world? Fourth reason we don't connect, and this will be for just a few of us, I'm too busy. I love the buzz of busy. I love feeling like I'm doing something all the time that's productive. And if I have a quiet moment, I find my hand drifting to the phone to fill the empty space with more busy. And how often do we cut people out of that equation? I had a meeting with our building. We're redeveloping our church building and had a meeting with the project manager the other day. And I could have done without it. And I sit there in my office and I force myself to ask, you know, the sort of the warm question before we get on to business. And in that moment, I discovered his teenage daughter was suffering with anxiety problems. But anyway, it opened up an incredible moment that I've since been able to say, well, I'm praying for you. He's not a believer. He has since turned up at our church to one of our services. You see, we need to sometimes stop and go, I need to switch off the buzz of busy to make room for someone because you just don't know where it's going to go. The other reason we don't connect, I do not like people. I get that. So, I'm going to just look down right now, but some people just are not likable. Now, don't turn to the person next to you. Please. I do not like people. Sixth reason we don't connect. I don't feel I belong or fit. Eleanor, that was just an outstanding testimony, honestly. I feel for you. I was bullied as a teenager, and I grew up feeling like I didn't fit, like I don't belong here. This is not for me. Jesus, he was from the line of a prostitute. What would he have felt like? What could have been the tendency for him to go to, feeling like, he wouldn't have felt like. I got this theory that most of us, at some point, for some dysfunction in us, go, am I the only one? Am I the only one who feels like this, thinks like this? Do I really fit? I'm here to tell you, you fit. You belong here. There's a circle here for you. There are friends here for you. There's a group here for you. You fit. Finally, another reason we don't connect, I've tried before and it didn't work. I get that. Just shared with you all those years ago in 2002 where our best friends just turned against us. And I thank God for a circle of people who gathered around us in that season from locally and from elsewhere who gave us the ability to stand up again and trust again, to restore our trust in people again, to believe that we were valuable, that there was still something for us to pursue as people in a place that mattered. And you've tried. I can only encourage you, give it a go again. Seven reasons you will want to be in a connect group. Seven reasons today you will want to join a connect group in C3 Powerhouse. Seven reasons. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. First reason you want to be in a connect group is because we are better together. We are better together. The Talmud, the Jewish text says, a man without a companion is like a left hand without the right. The Japanese motto says, none of us is as smart as all of us. You are a better person when you're around other people. Second reason you will want to be in a connect group. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward. That is to say, we're more successful when we're together. You're more successful when you're around other people, when you do life with other people. Pastor Phil, he often says that 80% of my future is locked up in other people. That is to say, what God has called me to do and what God has called me to achieve So much of that is hidden in the gifting and personality mix of the people I'm around. I am more successful. You're more successful when we travel this life together. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if we got to heaven and we went, Lord, look at my achievement. Yeah, I ran the 100-meter sprint in 10 seconds. And God turns around to you and goes, I had you down for the 4x400 relay. I had you down for the team race. And you go, oh my gosh, I was running the wrong race. We are more successful when we're together. The third reason you'll want to be in a connect group is we are happier together. Who's watched the movie Castaway? Tom Hanks, stranded on an island, all on his own, 4 years, and he unpackages some packages because he's working for FedEx and finds a volleyball by the brand Wilson. So he uses his imagination and calls it Wilson and befriends this volleyball. So now for years, Tom Hanks and Wilson are best buddies until the day they get separated. And at the most tragic moment in the entire movie, we'll pray for you later, Lisby. There's tears flowing in Melbourne right now as you revisit the movie. The saddest moment is when he lets go of Wilson, and Wilson, the volleyball, is floating away. And you hear the cry from Tom Hanks going, Wilson! The moral of the story is we're just happier together, even if it's a fantasy friend. But the great thing about being in such a great church is you'll never need a fantasy friend. We will give you a real friend. Psalm 84:3. Even if the sparrow finds a home and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's armies, my King. Oh my God, even the sparrow, the smallest of birds, the one who feels unseen, the one who wonders whether they belong there, even that one finds a home in the house of God. You belong here. You fit. You will find friends. You will fellowship around a common purpose. Doing the one another life, you'll be better in a group. I run a workout boot camp on Saturday mornings just because I couldn't find any colleagues in the work I do who didn't know Jesus. So I decided I would start something so I could get amongst on church friends. And it blew me away one day when one of these guys turned to me and said, Steve, this has been a lifeline to me. I'm a happier person because we get together once. Something I had taken for granted because I already had enough friends in my world meant the world to somebody else. Their life was happier. The fourth reason you'll want to be in a group, a connect group, is we are safer. This one is so profound. We are safer together. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Listen to this. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Can you see here the connection between our clean life, our clean living, and fellowship? I've found as I do life around other wholesome people, I'm less inclined to sin. And then when I feel unclean, when I'm around other wholesome, faith-filled people, somehow I feel cleansed. Isn't that interesting? That even though it's only Jesus who forgives me, there's something about the cleansing power of being around others. I am a safer person. My life is safer when I do it around other people. And that doesn't even mean I need to have had a deep heart-to-heart with someone for that to happen, although that is good. Just simply living around and being around others helps me be a safer person. 5.5, why you'll want to be part of a connect group. We are healthier together. Psalm 68, verse 6 doesn't say that God put the lonely in isolation or in a club or in an online chat group. It says he puts the lonely in families. Not all of us have had maybe great examples of family life, but God has designed family to be a therapeutic, life-giving, soul-healthy environment for us to live in. And so if your natural family hasn't been that, your spiritual family certainly will be. Our church has been that for us. Having moved countries to do what we do, the only family we've had around is our church. It's been our family. It's been our health factor. It's been the blood cells that get made in the bones and then flow through the joints and into the blood system that carries oxygen. You know, you're not going to get that level of health unless we're interconnected. And that's been us. It's kept us sane. It's kept us healthy. It's given us people to do Christmas with and New Year with. It's just everything we've needed has come through being integrated in our church families. The sixth reason you'll want to be in a connect group is we grow together. This can be painful. You'll never learn to forgive unless you get offended. You're never going to get offended unless you do life with others. Because sometimes other people stink, right? The people you get around just are not the likable people. They say unkind things. They give you feedback, you know, the stuff that is uninvited. But without that sharpening, iron sharpens iron. Without that rub, without those conversations you have to have from time to time that stretch us, that grow us, that build us, we're never going to grow. We need each other. We need that feedback. We need that honest friend. As a pastor, I'm often saying to someone, I think you need to say this to this person, not me. If I say it, it's going to come from my position. If you say it, it's going to come as a friend. Way better that someone hears it from a friend than hears it from someone who's like trying to save them from falling over the cliff just because they have a position to do so. We need friends around us who are prepared to stretch us and speak into our world and say what we need to hear to build our lives and stretch our lives. And finally, we need to be in connect groups because we are stronger together. You know, if you take one twig, it's going to break easily. You put a bunch of twigs together, you're not going to break that thing. We are stronger together. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. In Melbourne, here on the coast, why don't we stand to our feet right now? I don't want this just to be a motivational moment that just simply inspires you to join a group or to do life with others. I recognize there are people in this room right now for whom doing the one another life has wounds attached to it. It has triggers attached to it. It has memories attached to it. And I believe today the Lord is going to heal your soul. At least start the process of healing your soul. Maybe you're that person who goes, this one another life, I'm into it, man. I live for this. Maybe you've got a pastoral bent, like a leaning toward seeing others. Maybe you don't, and today you just want to ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. It's not my gift. It's not my nature to see others. Help me see others, because we can all do this. The pastoral gift is not my natural gift, but I've trusted on the Holy Spirit to help keep my eyes open, to see others, to see where they're at. I've learned from my wife to know that sometimes just to stop and just notice is a good thing. Maybe that's you today. You're going, it's not my gift, but I do want to learn to see others a little better. So wherever you're at, there in Melbourne, online, or here, I want you just to put your arm on someone next to you. I know a little old school cringy, but sometimes a little old school cringy is good, right? A little old school cringy is good. We're doing the one another life right here in this place there in Melbourne. We're doing the one another life right now. And I am believing that something's going to flow around this room right now. If you feel like you've been wounded by relationships, that God is going to heal something in your heart today. Or if you're wanting to be empowered to do the one another life and see others, that God is going to open your eyes, give you a grace for doing something that's not your gifting. So right now, come Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Lord, I pray that the oil of healing move through this room and through the online places, through Melbourne, right there in Ringwood. I'm believing the oil of anointing of healing is flowing right now. In Jesus' name, heal every broken heart. Heal every wounded soul. God, help us trust again. Help us believe again. Help us love again. And help us be loved again. Lord, I pray where we've been rejected and offended, Lord, I pray you give us the grace to forgive. I just want you in your heart right now to say, I forgive that person. I release that person. I let go in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you'd fill that heart with the love of heaven in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, you'd anoint us with eyes to see, with ears to hear, to notice the people around us, to ask that question that digs a little deeper, to draw someone in and include them and involve them. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes to see what we wouldn't naturally see, to have a grace for what we may not be naturally gifted to do. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for this magnificent church as you take it into a fresh season of growth. As we've seen this morning, where there is explosive growth, people are not just devoted to the preaching, the teaching, but they're devoted to the fellowship, to the people of the house. And I declare over this church today that we will be the people devoted to the people. We are the people who believe in the tribe, because this tribe is a vibe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, why don't we give it up for Jesus right now? We thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Melbourne, I'm going to hand back to Toby. Great to have you.